Well, would you like to turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3? Just like the Israelites got off track, I got off track this week, and we're not going to be in the wilderness wanderings this evening. The Lord led me to this passage instead. And so this must be for one of you, at least. And so, but I don't have a clue who for. Maybe for me. But a very lovely chapter, and one that has many sweet things to cherish. It's certainly chapter 3 of Proverbs, and I'd like to read from verse 1 down to verse 12. Starting at verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth." And we'll ask for God's blessing to be upon us. Lord, we come before your throne and we ask that you'd be with us this evening. We thank you for your word and for your word to direct us and to guide us and to enable us to know your thoughts. And I pray that as we consider some of these things this evening, that your spirit will be the one that illuminates us, allows us to see you in the way that you wish. And Lord, I pray that we would be enlightened and comforted. And Lord, use this time that we may know how to serve you better. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon gives some very wise advice to his son. That's who it's directed to, his son. We see that as it starts there in chapter 3, "My son." And then after that, he goes on to give various pieces of advice to his son. There were certain things that Solomon wanted his son to know in order that he may live a life that is righteous in the sight of God, knowing also that that would bring about a good life for his son. And it's in verse 5 that Solomon touches on a subject that is a common concern for most people. As a pastor, I've found that this is a problem that starts off in teenage years and it goes on throughout adult years as well. There is a problem or a concern that most people come to in their life at various times. And that is, in their life, there are times when they're not sure what path they should take. There's a decision that needs to be made. There's various decisions that they could make or paths that they could go, and they're not exactly sure what they should be doing. And I'm sure that you've found yourself in that predicament at some stage. You may be in that predicament now. Well, Solomon addresses this subject with his son. He says in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him," that's the Lord, "and he shall direct thy paths." That's what Solomon tells him. He shall direct thy paths. So Solomon's looking at the paths that his son will take throughout his life, and he understands that he has a need to have the Lord guide him through those. And so Solomon tells his son how he can have the Lord directing his paths, so that he can have the Lord to lead him in the paths that he ought to be going. And I think that's very wise advice, to show him how he can have the Lord's guidance. Because life can be thought of as a walk with many paths to it. I guess you can picture life in various ways, but one of them is you're going for a walk and then you come across various roads or paths along the way, and you can choose which way you may want to go. Sometimes we need to go down certain paths. Sometimes we can choose to go down some paths. Some paths are fun. Some are foolish. Some are needful. But there are lots of paths that we can go down and lots of paths where we find ourselves having to go down. Now, it is true there's some paths that we don't get to choose, and that will often depend on our surroundings. For example, for most of the children here, a part of their path in life is to come to church every Sunday. But they don't get to choose that. That's of their parents choosing, and you bring them along to Sunday school and to church, and they are involved in a Christian family. That's a path that they didn't get to choose. While other children, their path includes violence, abuse, surrounded by alcohol and drugs, and they have no choice of that either. That's due to the family that they are brought up in as well. And so there are some paths we don't get to choose, especially when we're young. But the older that we get, the more opportunities that we get to choose the paths that we go down. Employment is a path, and there are many options. Some are good, and some are not so good. Lifestyle is a path, and some of that is good, and some of it is bad. Marriage is a path that we choose, and there are good options, and there are bad options. Where we live is a path, and there are good options and bad options. How you respond to situations is a path as well. If you get hurt, you can choose to go down a path of bitterness, or you can choose to go down a path of forgiveness. Yet, these are the paths that we can choose. And so there are all different types of paths that we're able to go down. And in fact, many a times we are faced with circumstances where we are forced to make a decision about what path we go down. Sometimes I think we'd like to just sit back and not have to make any decisions in life. But that's not how it works. I like being a youth leader for a long time. It's wonderful when you hear children with all these dreams about what they're going to do when they leave school and everything. But when they leave school, they're actually forced to make a decision about what path to go down. And then it gets all scary. They have all these lofty ideas. But once they leave school, I have to make a decision. And so some will choose a path of further education, some of employment, some just sitting around doing nothing, or whatever it may be, but they have to choose a path. When you get hurt, you have to choose a path that you're going to go down. You never wanted to choose that, but the reality is when you get hurt, then you have to make a decision. Will I go down this path of forgiveness, or go down this path of resentment and anger? You have to make a decision. You can't avoid it. And those sort of things happen in everyday life in all different ways. And the reality is every path has a slightly different result to it as well. Every path has a different destination. I only have to look at my old friends from years gone by to discover that. Some of my old friends, they chose a path of alcohol and drugs. And now when they're around my age of 43, you see the emptiness and in the head and everywhere else because of filling themselves with those sort of things. Others have sought a path of success in business and working hard, and there are certain results because of that. Some are good and some are bad. I have other friends that have chosen to be missionaries and serving the Lord in full-time service. And so that is a very different result, choosing that path, rather than choosing a path of drugs and alcohol. Very different ends to those paths. And so every path has a different end to it. And Solomon wanted to make sure that his son had the Lord directing his paths and showing him the ways that he ought to go. And he knew this was a very wise thing to do. And if you love the Lord, this should be your desire as well. You should want to have the Lord directing you in the paths that you go. That's the wisest thing to do. And as far as I can see in regards to this topic, there are two major issues. Two. There is submission to the Lord's will, first of all, where you are willing to do what God wants you to do. And then there is the other one that, which can be a little bit stickier sometimes, and that is understanding the Lord's will, knowing what He wants you to do. They're the two major decisions in this regard. First of all, when it comes to submission to the Lord's will, this is where it all begins, really. You know, with the unsaved, submitting to the Lord's will for their life isn't even an option. That doesn't come into their mind. You know, when they're making a decision, they make it based on what they think would be best for them, what they think would have the best result, and what pleases them the most. You don't have an unsaved person sitting back and saying, well, I got this decision to make. I wonder what the God of heaven wants me to do. They don't even consider that. Now, that's understandable. But what's scary is when a saved person who is meant to be a servant of the Most High God, a bond slave where they are only to do the will of the Lord, when they act like that as well, where they don't consider what the Lord would have for them. And sadly, sometimes when there are many people that are saved, they're thankful they're saved, and they're glad that the Lord has saved them, but for the greater part, they live their life exactly like the unsaved, where they don't even consider what the Lord's will is in regards to their life. They choose the career they want, and the Lord doesn't even have a look in. They choose the spouse they want, and they don't even consider what the Lord might have. They spend their time the way they want, and they don't even consider what God says about their time. They choose things on the basis of what feels best and good for them. When the Lord wants them to base it on His will. You know, sadly for some people, their life is a little bit like that. They get a, like this, they get a blank bit of paper, like notes here, and then they look at it, get a pen. What do I want to do in life? Well, I definitely want to do that. And I definitely want to do that. Definitely want to do that. I have a dream of doing that, so I definitely want to do it. Yes, that feels good too, and I'd like to do that. They've got a whole long list, and then they say, Lord, will you just sign that off and say it's okay? Because these are the things I want to be doing in my life. And so they work out what they want, and then they expect God to say it's okay. Where the reality is, the Word of God makes it very clear that we are the servants or bond slaves. Understand what a bond slave is. You understand you don't get too many choices, all right? What we ought to be doing is get a blank piece of paper like that and sign it down the end, and you say, Lord, you fill it in. You tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. That's the difference. You tell me the paths that you want me to go down. Sadly, though, many Christians choose their own paths, and they leave the Lord right out of the decision-making. And so they will not submit to Him. Very different to what we hear about King David. Let me read Psalm 31:3. He says, For Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore Thy name's sake lead me and guide me, he says. In chapter 5, verse 8 of Psalm, it says, Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. And so this was the desire of King David. He says, Lord, I want You to make Your way straight to me and lead me in those paths of righteousness. I want You to be my guide. And brethren, that should be our desire if we are truly born again, to have Him guiding and leading us. I want that. I'll mess it up if I try and work it out myself. I hate to think what will happen if it's all up to me working things out. I want God to work these things out for me and lead us, lead me. I can remember the first time I actually did this. I was around about 19. up until then. I basically worked out everything that I want to do. I had the whole list filled out. The Lord just had to sign it off. All right, He wasn't signing it off, unfortunately. And then the Lord changed my heart, and then I realized, hey, I want to do what God wants me to do. And at that time, I was working as a dairy farmer, but as I delighted myself in Him and His Word, the things of being a dairy farmer just didn't seem that appealing after a while, and all I wanted to do was go to Sydney, believe it or not, and go to Bible college so I could be a pastor. That's all I wanted. But just because that was an admirable desire, that wasn't enough. I actually wanted now to know what God wanted me to do. And so it wasn't like, okay, that sounds pretty good. I'm going to pack up, throw this in, and move to Sydney and go to Bible college. Because I think it's the Lord's will. I didn't know if it was the Lord's will. That's just what my desire was. I went to the pastor there, told him my desires, and he gave me some tapes, actually, to listen to on how to discover the will of the Lord. I went to my father and asked him for advice as well. I prayed about it, and I sought the Lord. And I came to that point where I believed this was of the Lord. He wanted me to go there. But it was an exciting thing to think, wow, God has a will for my life. And it's not a matter of me working out what I want to do for my life, but it's a matter of me working out what God wants me to do with my life and then obeying it. And that when I have that desire, He will guide me and direct me in those right paths. That was exciting. I thought, wow, this is what I'm looking for. And I tell you, it took away a lot of fear about the future and brought a lot of comfort to my soul that if I place myself in the hands of the living God who loves me and cares for me and who said that He will guide me, I don't have to worry so much. That's the first time. Praise God, I've done it many a times afterwards. But I wonder, can you say this is how you act when you come to one of those forks in the road? Decision. I could go that way or I could go that way. It's not like one's sinful and one's not, so to speak. But Lord, which way do you want me to go? Please direct my paths. Do you do that? The paths that you are on at the moment, are they your paths or are they the Lord's paths? Well, the Lord wants to direct us. It shows us here in the Word of God that He does. But the first issue is submission. And it doesn't matter if it's something to do with a decision in life or if it's a struggle within the home or whatever it may be. The first thing we must be willing to do is, I want to do what you want, God. It's not just a matter of what I like the most or what I think is the best for me, but God, I want to know what you want me to do. Submission to His will. That's the start. Now, after that, the next issue is understanding the Lord's will. Sadly, some people never get to this point. They don't really want to know what God wants because they're too busy doing all their lists, all right? And so they don't actually want to know if God's happy with the list or not. They just want to do what they want. But for those who actually come to the point where they only want to do what the Lord wants them to do, one of the most troubling things is, what actually does He want me to do? Have you ever found yourself saying, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do, but I just don't know what it is. Can you please show me? Well, the good news is Solomon tells his son and tells us what to do so that we can have the Lord's direction. And he says that we're to do this and to do this and to do this, and then the Lord will direct our paths. And if you are in submission to the Lord's will, where doing what He wants is the most important thing in your life, regardless if it's regards to work, church, family, whatever it may be, if doing what God wants is above everything else, well then this is good news. This is exciting news because this is what you would be wanting to find out. And Solomon tells his son that to receive this guidance, there are three things he must do first of all. And this is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the Christian walk. There are many Christians walking around saying, I just want to know what God wants me to do, but he doesn't seem to be showing me, but they actually aren't even doing what God wants them to do in order to enjoy that guidance. There are three things that Solomon shows us through the inspiration of the Spirit of God that we ought to be doing if we want to enjoy this guidance. And I'm going to look at these three things as we continue on. First thing is found in verse 5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice Solomon mentions the heart. The condition of a person's heart is extremely important. In verse 1 he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of thine heart. And now he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Solomon knew that if you get the heart right, everything else will follow. And Solomon tells his son, the first thing he needs to be doing is trusting. Trusting the Lord. Willing to trust him that he knows best. And now that sounds really easy. But the longer I live and the longer I, as for myself, and the longer I see others, I discover this is probably one of the hardest things for Christians to do. They will trust the Lord for their salvation, trusting that what Jesus did on the cross was enough. They trust that the Lord will forgive them as they confess their sin. They trust him for something as big as that, but it ends there in their life. They won't trust him for the rest of their life once they are saved. And they live a life as though they're saying, Lord, thank you for saving me. I understand that's a major thing and I trusted you in that. But when it comes to every other area of my life, when it comes to my finance, when it comes to my family, when it comes to work, I just don't know if you can handle that. I'm just not sure if these things might be a little bit big for you, God, so I think I better do them. I think I better take over here. And we won't trust the Lord and what he says. But if we want the Lord's direction in the path that we should go, we must be willing to trust him. Our confidence must be in him and not ourselves. And what we need to do, first of all, is regularly remind ourselves that he is someone worthy of our trust. When we see it revealed through the scriptures that he is worthy of our trust. Did he fail Joseph? No. Even though things just seemed to be in turmoil for so long, he did not fail him. He was in control. Did he fail Noah? No, even though that seemed like an impossible task to build that thing, and with all that storm, he got him through the storm. Regardless, he didn't fail him. Did he fail the disciples when he left them? No, he did send the comforter, and he was there to comfort and to guide them. And has he failed us? Can you stand up and say with all honesty and proof that my God and Saviour has failed me? I know sometimes I've doubted it. I know sometimes I've been confused, but I cannot say he's failed me. I have found him to be trustworthy, worthy of trust. And that's important to remember. You know, my wife asked me to buy milk this morning on the way to church. I thought that was showing a lot of trust in me, because there's been plenty of times she's asked me to do that and I've forgotten. I was impressed she trusted me. I think she might have been impressed that I remembered too. She was. But I understand her lack of trust, because I've failed her so many times in that area. But we should never put the Lord in that category. Why is it when something doesn't go the way that we think it should go, our first response is we don't trust him? And when accidents happen, we need to trust him that he is in control. He knows what's happening. when our plans fail and things don't work out the way we thought they would, we need to trust Him that He has better plans. When things go slower than we wanted them to go, we need to trust that He is still at work, even though we thought He would have answered that prayer by now. If we don't get the marks that we thought we would have at school, even though we tried so hard, we need to trust that He has a better plan for us. When the finances are low, we need to trust that He'll keep His promise that He will never forsake us, but He will provide for our needs. When we get asked to do something that seems so impossible, like build an ark, we need to trust that He will help us through those things, and we need to trust Him. First thing the Lord asks us to do in order to receive that direction and guidance is to trust Him. And who better to trust than the God of heaven, the one who said, "My grace will be sufficient for you. Then when you are weak, I will be strong. I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to help you. All things will work together for good." He doesn't want us to act irrationally or in the flesh or hastily when things don't seem clear. He just wants us to trust Him. And you know, that's the thing that upset Him probably the most with the children of Israel. They were there in the land. He said He'd be there to help them and to guide them. And then a nation would come up seeking to attack them. And so often, instead of running to the Lord and saying, "Lord, our trust is in You. We're going to rely on You to help us in this situation." Instead, they would run off to Egypt and ask them to come and help them. Or they'll run off to another nation and ask them to come and help them. And that infuriated God that they would go to the arm of the flesh instead of coming to Him. And that's exactly the same for us. When things happen in our life, the first thing He wants us to do is to start to trust Him and not run and do things irrationally or fleshly or hastily. And sometimes the Lord is going to ask us to do some scary things or hard things, things that appear impossible. And He's going to say, "I want you to go this way as I'm directing you." And we say, "Whoa, that's hard or scary. It seems impossible." And so we run off to an easier path. And He's left there infuriated by us. "Why didn't you just trust Me? And I could have led you in the right way." Sometimes He's going to ask us to go through some valleys to lead us to the green pastures. But if we won't trust Him through those valleys and we run off somewhere else, He will never get us to the place where He wants us to be. We'll have to choose something else instead. And so the first thing is trust. Trust Him to lead us. Now the second part sort of goes hand in hand, but it says, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." You know, we might as well accept the fact that there are going to be some things that just don't make sense. We like to have everything categorized so it all makes sense. But there are going to be plenty of things that just don't make sense. Sometimes even God's word won't seem to make sense and won't seem in your circumstance to be the best way to do things. Sometimes it's going to make sense to hate that person and get angry with that person and refuse to talk to that person rather than forgive them and love them and care for them. Sometimes it's going to seem to make so much more sense to go the way of the wicked and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It seems so good when God says, "No, this is the way you ought to be going." Now, there are going to be times when in our own understanding, God's ways don't make sense. You know, there are going to be some times when it doesn't seem even clear what God's word is saying. I just can't find the answer in God's word. And it's during these times we need to trust the Lord and don't start going to our own understanding for things. If there's a path that makes sense that goes this way, but God's word says go that way, we are not to lean unto our own understanding, but trust the Lord. when we see others prospering in the things that are goes against God's word. And it seems like that might be a better way. We need to not lean unto our own understanding, but trust that the Lord does know best. And there will be times in life when things happen and you just will not understand why they're happening. And that's when we need to apply this verse where we say, Lord, I don't understand why, but I'm not going to rely on my own understanding. I'm going to trust you that you're in control and that you can bring to pass and fulfill your purposes in my life at this time, even though I don't understand what's going on. And if you can do that, that will be such a blessing in times of trouble, when those forks in the road come. And so that means that when you fail the test and you don't get into the course that you were hoping to get into, or you go for that job interview and you don't get that job that you thought would be so perfect for you, you can still turn around and say, I will trust you, Lord, that you know best. I won't lean under my own understanding. I trust that you're still at work. I'm going to allow you to guide me as you wish. That means when a relationship may be called off or broken off, and it doesn't make sense because that person seems perfect for you, you can trust that the Lord knows what's best for you. And you don't have to fear. And then you won't go off on a foolish path that will lead to destruction. You know, when the Lord doesn't answer your prayer how you hoped He would answer your prayer. Or when you pray for something but it's taking so long for the Lord to answer, you don't have to rush off and say, well, obviously God's not hearing my prayer, He's not listening, so I'm just going to have to go and work out these things on my own and do something. No, you wait upon the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. Wait patiently upon Him for Him to make those paths clear. You know, He's not here tonight, so I can say it, but what an encouragement Brother Rule Santos is. You know, he has been unemployed for so long. He's wanted to support his family. And, you know, when he goes for a job interview, he's gone and he hasn't got it. And he says with sincerity, well, the Lord knows what's best. He said that with sincerity. He trusted that the Lord is directing and guiding his paths. And you can see the joy in his heart when he can see the end result of trusting the Lord, where he can say, wow, look at what the Lord has provided. If I could pick a job, this is it. The Lord knew what he was doing. And what Rule and what all of us need to do is say, Lord, these things don't make sense to me. I'm not understanding why, but I understand that you're the one that can look down the road and you know what's best for me, so I would trust in that. And I will not lean to my own understanding. And when we are like that, then we are pliable enough to be guided and directed in the right paths. But the big question is, do you think that you know better than God? When God's word differs from what you think would be best, which one do you choose? And, you know, in my counselling with various people, you know, the reality is, I reckon 95% of decisions that need to be made are found in the Word of God, either black and white commandments or principles. And generally what I have to say to people, because I've got to say this to myself, okay, this is what God's Word says, even though in your circumstance that doesn't seem to be the best way, who are you going to choose to trust the most? Yourself and your understanding of the situation, or what God says? And it's those who say, well, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to trust what God says here, even though it just doesn't seem to be the best. They're the ones who enjoy the guidance and direction from the Lord. And that's when He can lead us in those paths of righteousness. And so He tells us that we are to trust Him, lean not unto our own understanding, and then thirdly, it says there in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There is a need for acknowledging the Lord. And I think this is where a lot of us miss out. If you want him to direct you and guide you, you must acknowledge him. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge him? If you're running around thinking you're acknowledging him, you may not be acknowledging him. What does it mean to acknowledge the Lord? Well, ultimately, it comes down to submission, but there are three parts to it. Don't worry, it won't take long to look at these. But two can be joined together, and that is, when we acknowledge the Lord, that means, first of all, we seek his advice or wisdom. And also, we seek his permission to do so as well. For example, just say someone organises a birthday party, sleepover birthday party. It's going to be so exciting. And they ring up one of my children, say, would you love to come to this sleepover birthday party that I'm organising? If they say, yes, definitely, I'll be there, and they hang up the phone, or hang up the phone, how you do it now, and they go out and buy all the food for it to go along, they ring up and invite some friends of their own, they organise someone to pick them up, and then half an hour before the party, they come in and say, Dad, I just let you know that I've been invited to a birthday party and I'm going to go there tonight. Or maybe not that brash, they say, Dad, I've been asked to go to a party tonight. Is it all right if I go? After they've organised everything. Is that acknowledging me as the head of the home? I think every father will understand that's not the case. All right. Children may still find that hard to work out, but the fathers know what we're talking about. There are two things they wouldn't have acknowledged. One, they haven't acknowledged my wisdom, that I might know some things that they don't know and that this may not be a good idea. So they haven't acknowledged, I need to go and check with Dad to see if this is probably a good thing to do. They haven't acknowledged that, and they haven't acknowledged my authority over them as well, that I'm actually the one that makes the decision if they're allowed to go or not. And so there is not acknowledging. And it's the same when it comes to the Lord. If we want to acknowledge the Lord, as it says here, in all our ways, not just some, not just the big ones or the ones that we think we're going to get a right answer for, but in all our ways, well then it must start by acknowledging his wisdom, that is, that it's greater than ours, and acknowledging that he is the one that determines what we do. He has the authority over us. You say, Lord, I want you to make it very clear through your word if this is wise and this is what you want, because I only want to do what you want and nothing else. As I said, to organize it all and then go and ask for permission is a bit like the list. I've got my list, Lord. Now just sign it, will you? Because I'm on my way. That's not acknowledging the Lord. You know, when I became a youth pastor, a common question I asked just about everyone to just generate conversation was, so, what are you going to do when you grow up? And as the years went by, although that's not a bad question, I realised I should change that to teach them to be thinking the right way, where you ask, what do you think the Lord wants you to do when you grow up? Oh, because the reality is that if they're saved, it's just not a matter of what do I want to do, all right, the list, when I grow up, but it's actually what does God want me to be doing in my life so that I can seek after those things. And if the Lord truly is your Lord and Master, then he has the right to make those decisions. And many times we don't pray and ask the Lord about something like that because we're too afraid that he may say no about something. And so we don't ask him. We go off and do what we choose rather than seeking him. And too many never pray with a sincere heart, Lord, please show me if it's your will for me to seek this career, or to start courting this person, or to spend time with these people, or to go to this place, because I only want to do what you want, God. So many, sadly, too often are too afraid to ask what God wants, and so they just seek whatever they choose. But brethren, if we want the best paths, if we want the Lord to direct, we need him to make it clear what he wants. And we really know in our heart if we do. Now, sometimes it's not as clear, and I guess I could do another message on this, but you know, sometimes it certainly always starts with praying that the Lord will direct your paths. And then it means going to his word, and oftentimes there's black and white answers, or there's certainly godly principles. And then there is a seeking from godly advice, so that you actually have them back up what you're interpreting here. Because some people can say, yep, there's go west, they went west. Oh, well, I want to move west, and so that's God's will, obviously. All right, I got it out of the Bible. All right, you need to back it up with godly wisdom advice to make sure that what you're interpreting God's word saying is actually truth. And if it is truly God's will, there won't be any complication in that. Then there is open and shut doors. And if you're just working on an open and shut door, someone's asked me to go and be a builder in Alice Springs somewhere, that alone is not enough. Because there needs to be all these other things. Is it good for your soul? Is there a good local church there? But that's where the godly wisdom and advice comes in. But when all of these things come together, when God's word way has been made straight to you, and it's an easy decision after that. But first of all, there needs to be a seeking of wisdom from the Lord, and also seeking permission. But then thirdly, and very quickly, there must be obedience. You know, if the child that comes and asks, can they go to the birthday sleepover party, gets a resounding no, and then they sneak out that night and go anyway, even though they may have sought wisdom and permission, all that means nothing if they haven't actually obeyed. They haven't actually acknowledged their father. And sometimes we ask for things hoping we're going to get an answer, so that we can have a bit of a peace about what we're doing, but inside we know we've already made the decision regardless of what God says. And even though God's word may even suggest we shouldn't, even though godly advice tells us not to, or godly advice hasn't even been sought, even though in our conscience there is not that peace or there's an uneasiness, we still push on regardless. That's not acknowledging the Lord. You ever done that? It's terrible. That cost me about $25,000 actually doing that. Once when we lived in Sydney, we were thinking about buying a house, and I sought some advice from someone, and they said, look, I don't think it's wise. You should see what the Lord wants you to be doing in the next couple of years and keep saving. But I found someone said, yeah, that's a great idea. Buy it. Oh, wow, that's good. And so I went ahead with that, and there was an uneasiness. Why? I don't know if I should be doing this, but I'm going to press on because I really want a house. Sure enough, we buy the house. About 5 months later, Coffs Harbour says, will you come and be our pastor? I have to try and sell it. Couldn't sell it for about, 10 months or more. Had to pay it off. Well, no one's there. Had to drop the price. We lose about $20,000 in the process. If only I had truly sought the Lord. But I was going to get that place regardless, what the Lord said. And the older that you get, the more people you see like this. And they miss out on the best paths. It doesn't mean that their life is destroyed often, but they certainly miss out on the best paths. And the question is, at the moment, can you say that you are acknowledging the Lord in all thy ways? Not some, but all. When there is an important decision to make, do you seek wisdom from the Lord? Do you honestly seek his permission by looking into his word and principles and backing it up with godly advice, and then do you obey him? Well, the blessing is we have a good shepherd that wants to lead us into green pastures. And all he asks us to do is to trust him to lead us. And patiently wait on him until he makes those paths clear. And if we do that, he says he will direct us. And that brings a lot of comfort. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your guidance and your wisdom. And Lord, even those times when it's not clear, you have made it very clear that we are to patiently wait upon you. Forgive us for those times when we run ahead. And help us not to be foolish. And Lord, show us your will and your ways for our life, that we may glorify you in the process. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.